and welcome back to Happy Place. I told you it wouldn't be long, didn't I? And my goodness, I am so, so excited about this series, a brand new series just for you. Now, this is the show where I, Fern Cotton, investigate the minds of some fascinating people to discover what gets them to their own personal happy place. And we kick off season five. Oh my goodness, I cannot believe how time has flown by. We're at season five already with, get ready, the one and only Jada Pinkett Smith.
One day, you just have to mature emotionally and handle your own feelings. Cradle your own broken heart. Wipe away your own tears. Collect your own smiles. You can't expect people to do that for you.
I mean, I have been literally buzzing with excitement to share this episode with you. I haven't told anyone. It's been a secret. I've been absolutely bursting to tell someone. And now you know. Of course, Jada is an actor, a singer and a songwriter, a mother and wife to Will Smith. And you know what? She was an absolute joy to speak to. And you're going to get so much out of this chat, I promise. Consider your life changed.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Right, now, here's the show. Jada, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I've been so excited to meet you.
Oh, wow.
I went down a rabbit hole of Red Table Talk when I first found out about the show. I think I did seven in my first sitting because
wow.
You can't stop watching it. It's so compelling. The subject matters that you're discussing, the way that you discuss them, and it's just the rawness of it I found completely compelling and addictive. Oh. And it's really a beautiful setup having you, your mum and your daughter there with three, at times, very varying opinions on subjects. Were you quite surprised at those reactions and those differing opinions when you were discussing certain things?
No, I mean, that was kind of the beauty of the show when I thought about it. I was like, wow, we have three generations of women here. And Gammy and Willow... You know, Willow's real new school. My mother's real old school. And I'm kind of both. Kind of in the middle, right? And so I thought that that would make for really interesting conversations at the table between a family of women from those different generations.
I love Gammy.
Yeah, she's a trip.
She is a brilliant.
Yes.
I was like, can I pull off a blonde pixie crop in my hair in my new haircut?
Exactly.
She's just, I love her. It's such a beautiful show. What I instantly was shocked about was your full throttle courage to just say what you believe about any subject.
Yeah.
And I think that's completely refreshing as we don't get fed much truth these days,
yeah.
You know, from social media to just the media.
Right.
We get a lot of very filtered information coming our way. And I love the fact that you three, or whoever you have on as a guest, you are just being insanely honest. Has that always been something that you've prided yourself on, that you like to be honest? Or is this show kind of, you know, sort of, I don't know, steered you in that direction a little more?
It's definitely steered me in that direction a little more as far as being that way so publicly. Of course, in my life, you know, I've tried very hard to live as authentically as possible. And, you know, sometimes we don't even know when we're not living authentically. This show has really, I wanted to create a safe space where I myself could be more transparent and more authentic, and that for my family and for other people. Yeah. Because I do believe that, you know, in this particular day and age, there's no safe space really to be your authentic self. And I think that the more true and the more authentic we can be, the more free we feel. And that is really my quest for this next half of my life, is just to be free, you know, and then to offer other people that step towards that journey, because, you know, freedom is a journey.
Yeah. You know. And it takes courage. Like, I think you have to be courageous, but you also have to be vulnerable. You have to be in a vulnerable space to be willing to step. And, you know, like, one of the episodes that really resonated with me was the motherhood one.
Yeah.
You're a mother, you're a stepmother, I'm a mother, I'm a stepmother. And that doesn't get talked about very
at
often.
All.
There's no books. There's no books on how to be a stepmother out there. And I, like you, was a stepmother first, then a mum. There's no information out there about that.
No.
So it was really refreshing to hear you talk about that. And also, I just loved that you were like, I'm going to step even closer and let's get Will's ex-wife to the table and we're going to talk. I thought that was just an amazing thing to watch. How did you feel going into that episode?
I really loved it, and I thought it was about time. I knew that hearing both sides was really important to really understand how to navigate through a relationship like that. And I was just so thankful that she was willing to come to the table. And, you know, we'd come through so much already. I mean, that conversation, there's layers even to that. There's even more to talk about, you know, in regards to that. But, you know, for her as well to have the courage and the vulnerability to speak her truth. And I just felt like that was that's probably one of my favorite shows, is because you're right. Nobody talks about it. And surely to be in one space where you can see two women in that circumstance talk about it together.
And it's not rare anymore. It's not like a rarity. There's blended families all over the bloody place. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's really, people are nervous to talk about it.
Very nervous, because there are families involved, there's children involved. Yeah. You don't want to, you know, and the thing, you don't want to blow anything up, right?
No.
And so I think the thing with Rhea and I is that Trey's an adult.
Yeah.
We've been through, like, we've wrecked it, we've put it back together again, wrecked pieces of it, put it back together again. So we've been through, you know, kind of all those transitions. So we understand very clearly what it is. So we could really help each other through it.
Mm.
Yeah.
I love how you talk about family in general, because what you've done beautifully with, again, the family episode where you're all sat at the table, is you've all sat there and admitted your mistakes without shame attached to it.
Yeah.
And also allowing other people to go, oh, thank God I've done that too. Yeah. Because I think we all sit there and go, they've got the perfect life.
Yeah.
Everything's sparkly and amazing, and it all goes swimmingly for them. And it's like, at the end of the day, you're a family.
Yeah.
And you've got family dynamic and stuff going on. And it was, again, highly refreshing to see you discuss those subjects and to say, we make mistakes, and then you start again. You don't have to, you know, be condemned for life or feel awful about things forever.
Exactly.
And that's where people get so stuck in that shame and sort of self-loathing from moments like that. So I loved that episode. I thought it was just a really special one, a really special one to watch. And I guess another theme that I was really seeing with a lot of the shows is we have all of these things in our lives that are not necessarily everyday ordeals. They're not things that cause us this, like, horrendous pain every day. But we have pushed them under the rug, or we've, you know, suppressed them, and they cause a lot of tension, and we forget that. And you are having this cathartic process for us all to watch of, well, let's tick another one off the list there.
Yes.
Does it feel like that you're kind of working through stuff on this show?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Even when I'm not expecting to. You know, I remember when we did the show on loss, and literally minutes before we were about to film, I got a call about the death of my girlfriend. And I was like, how ironic is this? You know, that I'm going to be dealing with how I deal with loss in front of the cameras, because literally I have to figure out how to be with this while I'm working, you know. And so that was a really, really interesting show. So all of them is I'm working things out. I'm working things out while I'm sitting there at that table with those cameras on. And it's just freeing. I think for me, really dissolving kind of the idea that people who, or myself, I won't say people, I'll say myself and my family, because we live in the public eye, that we have perfect lives. I think Will and I both were just ready to really be rid of that, you know. And it takes a lot trying to hold an image of perfection or hold an image of like all is well all the time here. And I think we were just ready to be human.
And you both talked about that prolifically in that episode, because it looked to the outside world like you were at one point living that dream. You know, you were with the Obamas and you were on, you know, huge movie sets, and your kids were starting their own careers, and everyone would make a ton of assumptions about that. And it was really lovely to go, wow, look at what they were feeling and thinking during that time. It was so different. Yeah. It was incredible. Did you go into that episode having any discussion about it before, or was it just you got to the table and it was fresh, it all just came out?
I think Will and I, you know, we asked each other, I was just like, you know, is there anything you don't want to talk about? And he's like, no.
I love that.
And I was like, okay, cool, let's go.
And you have both redefined what marriage means to you at this point in your relationship, and that again was a lovely thing to hear. I wrote an article about my marriage over here a little while ago.
How long have you been married?
5 years.
Okay, got
it. Been together 8.
Okay.
And, you know, like every other couple, we have arguments and we have disagreements, and there are things that are going on because we have a blended family and there's all sorts of stuff constantly going on. Everyone's got their own agenda. And loads of headlines came from this article about how our marriage was on the rocks and we argue all the time. And I was like, that's not what I'm saying.
Exactly.
That's not what I'm saying. Right. And I think, you know, regardless of being in the public or not, everybody looks at everyone else and goes, they've got the perfect marriage. They've got the perfect family life.
Yeah.
And I loved hearing what you had to say about marriage and what it means to you today.
Yeah.
Can you explain how you look at your relationship differently from back then to how you've redefined it and why it works better for you?
You know, I think the biggest nugget for me is the idea of emotional independence. A lot of times we'll go into, I was talking to Will about this the other day, and it was really a trip, because we definitely went into the marriage with different ideas of what it was going to be. And I think everybody does that. And you don't really, you think, oh, we're getting married, so everybody thinks it's the same thing. You know, the two partners that are involved, you're thinking, oh, it's the same thing. We're going for the same thing because we're getting married. Right? And then you go through the marriage and you're wondering why there's certain walls you slam into. Well, because unbeknownst to each partner, you're in search of different things within the partnership. But you're continuously thinking you're in search of the same thing and you're doing the same thing, and now you're in a confusion of why you're running into trouble.
Yes.
Right? And after being with Will all these years, we're going, this is 22 years for us. Now just realizing, oh my goodness, we had two different priorities.
Yeah.
We were in this for two different reasons. Right? So now it's getting more in alignment. You know, us being in agreement of like, oh, okay, this is why we're doing this.
Yeah.
But then also understanding that while we're in a partnership, there's individual journeys. And my individual journey right now is emotional independence.
Yeah.
And recognizing that, you know, I think also we have incredibly unrealistic emotional expectations of our partners. And that one day, you just have to mature emotionally and handle your own feelings. Cradle your own broken heart. Wipe away your own tears. Collect your own smiles. You can't expect people to do that for you.
It's so true.
Yeah.
And to give each other space.
Yes.
Which often...
It's scary.
It's scary.
Yeah.
People in marriage think, oh, is that a bad sign that things are going downhill? Or outsiders might think, why are they doing their own thing?
Yeah.
I think I've always been a big believer in, I know I'm fine on my own. I like being on my own.
Right.
I love my husband, but I like being on my own.
Yes.
I like doing stuff on my own.
Yep.
Is that a bad thing? And we're reaching that kind of now with, we're by no means like, we've got it sus now, we've redefined it, but certainly we've both gone, it's fine that we do our own thing.
Absolutely.
And that we have that space. And then we come together and we're rejuvenated and refreshed and
it's important.
It is.
Because when you're talking about being with someone forever,
yes,
when that's the freaking goal, come on now. Like, really.
I know.
It's like, you know, okay, we're going to do this thing till death do us part.
Yeah.
Like, man, it takes some real examining and courage.
And you think constant communication?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Even when you think you're communicating, you know, it's even that is a journey in learning what communication is. I believe often we think just because we're talking, we're communicating.
Yes.
And that's not the case. It's like, unless I'm able to transfer my ideas and I can get some understanding, I can understand you, you can understand me. If we can have understanding, now we've communicated. If we have, if there's no understanding and there's no clarity, we haven't communicated, even if we sat here and talked for 2 hours.
Yeah. So true. do you find this? That's the same with other people in your life?
You're absolutely.
Your friends?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because I'm really shit with boundaries. I really struggle with... I really love this person, friend or whoever. But of course, every relationship needs boundaries.
Right.
But I'm so scared they're going to think, oh, I don't want to hang out with you because you've said no.
Yeah.
Or this is how I like things. That I find very, very tricky. And I loved the episode you did with Gabrielle Union when you reconnected with an acquaintance you hadn't seen for a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm imagining a bit of that breakdown was due to boundaries and understanding each
understanding,
other.
Understanding, lack of communication, the whole thing. Immaturity, you know. And that was a really healing episode for she and I. Yeah,
I bet.
That was really healing. I give her a lot of props. She had a lot of courage to come to that table.
What she said was phenomenal as well. It took guts to sort of say, look, I used to slag everyone off and say, this person's this, that person's that. I thought that was, I haven't heard many people say that.
Yeah.
Admit that.
Yeah.
We've all done that. We've all done it. Yeah, who hasn't had a little gossip?
Absolutely.
We've all done it. And I think many people listening to this will have had friendships break down.
Yeah.
They will have drifted from people or they'll be having a perfectly nice day and then that little thought pops up, oh, God, if I bump into that person or, oh, I should never have done that. Would you encourage people to try and make those reconnections or to stop fearing them so much?
Yeah, I mean, it just depends. You know, I don't believe that all reconnections are necessary. I do believe that sometimes, you know, people come into your life for many seasons or sometimes for one season. It really depends on how heavy it is on you. If it's heavy on you, you know, if it's heavy, you want to figure out how to free yourself of that, whatever that looks like, you know. But I don't think just because you're out of communication with someone that means something's wrong. You know, it really depends on how it's affecting you that I really look at. It's like if it's tight or every time the person's name comes up, it's, you know, this emotion, this, you know, heavy emotion or what have you. That's a lot to carry.
Yeah.
You know, and I've just realized even in my life, just really always just trying to figure out how to decrease the weight and really just have the courage to release myself and find whatever's needed for freedom and more peace. I was telling Will the other day, I was like, you know, I used to think that happiness was about pleasure, and it's not. My happiness really is about peace.
Mm.
I have so many pleasures that have brought me so much chaos and trauma, you know, and I really had to make that distinction, you know, in this journey.
Well, it's funny that we often all think happiness is an end goal or something to be attained, and or even joy or euphoria. And that, I guess, they're moments that are scattered throughout life and they'll just come.
Yeah.
But for you, it's peace, or it could be contentment for someone else, grounding.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's just feeling okay. Do you know what I mean? Not being horrible to myself.
Yeah.
And going, you're a piece of shit or whatever. Just feeling like, oh, I don't really hate myself today. That's a good starting point.
That's a great starting point.
Well, it's better than always reaching for this happiness and it being a lofty feeling and something that, you know, is unattainable often.
It really is.
Or we try and get it in the wrong way.
Yeah.
And it's about that peace. And like you say, we all carry around these backpacks of crap, you know, that weight. And if you can find ways of reducing that, oh my God, life is easier.
It's so much easier and so much more pleasant.
But it's not easy, is it?
It's not.
It's not easy reducing that.
It's not. You have to have so much courage. You know, the courage I had to have to call Gabrielle.
Oh my God, I can't imagine.
You're right. And call her. Not only call her, but go, would you do it on camera at the table? Just because I want women to see.
I can't. Was your heart racing? I can't imagine.
You know what?
I would shit myself doing that.
It wasn't that my heart was racing. It's so interesting. My heart was so deeply open.
Oh, I love that.
You know, it was so open, and I was open for whatever answer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was just a blessing that she was like, absolutely.
Mm.
It was a blessing.
Because in that moment, again, you are vulnerable because you have to be ready for her to possibly say
no,
I'm sorry, right. I'm not doing that.
And be okay.
And be okay.
How about that? Okay. And be okay.
That's why I think we're all so scared of reaching out to people, is rejection.
It's the rejection. And that's the courage. And, and that's where, you know, the intentions with our own hearts.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, once again, that reliability, that emotional independence of not taking anything personally.
Yeah. That's hard.
It's hard. And being respectful of where other people are.
Mm.
And that it really doesn't have anything to do with you.
Mm.
And that it's okay.
It's such an important thing to remember. It really is, that if you are on the receiving end of that rejection, like you say, it's what they're going through.
Yeah.
Unless you've done something deeply awful that you really haven't been remorseful about.
Right.
But I think if it is just a breakdown and you're reaching out and it's not reciprocated, then you can't take it personally. You just have to know you've done your best, I guess, and go with that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It seems like the, well, certainly your mum and daughter are incredibly important to that support network in your life of making you feel peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
Would that extend outside of family? Do you have a network of people that you just need in your life to make you feel okay?
I don't. And a lot of that has to do with going back to really that emotional independence.
Yeah.
You know, really me being my own best friend and me really strengthening that connection between myself and my higher power.
Mm.
And it's not that I don't have people in my life that are supportive and people that I can't go to. And of course, I'm so grateful for them and in ways that they can be available to me and for me. But at the same time, you know, I've realized that you really have to be careful with the expectations that you put on people, because that support group is also going through things, you know, and when I'm really in the teeth of something, I cannot depend on anyone to, you know, 24/7 picking up the phone. Like, I have to be able to depend on me and myself, and that I can be happy with that, that me having me is the gift, you know, and that anything else that's added on that, man, it's icing on the cake. It's icing on the cake. It's extra.
Yeah. My goal to get to. I'm not there yet. I think I still go, oh, I feel really worried. Who can I text? Instant. Who can I text? They can make it go away. They can make it vanish. Who is it? Is it this friend? Is it that? And it's, I guess it's also the difference between offloading and wanting advice you will listen to, not just, I need to offload it quickly. But I think the end goal is that.
Yeah.
Is going, I'm going to deal with this. You know, if we really need to talk, of course. But I think if you know deep down that you've got the tools to work through something on your own, that is the best place you can get to.
It is the best. And it's not easy, because when you're, when you're in the teeth of something and you have to sit in that hot loneliness and that cold loneliness to find that you that can cradle you and that you that is your guru, that has the best advice for you, it's not easy.
We lose that intuition because we get so bogged down with the exterior, people, social media, what we're being indoctrinated with, that we forget that we usually do have the answers.
Yeah,
and that gut,
you
gut
have it.
Feeling. Do you have ways that you that will help you tune into that intuition?
Just really being still. That is when I, you know, when something happens. I try my best to go just into deep stillness so I can just listen to what my body's telling. Your body will tell you everything. You know, if the answer comes up in your mind and your gut just starts to get sick, that ain't the right answer.
Yeah.
If an answer comes into your mind and your heart starts to open, all right, now we're on the right track. Okay. Right. And so it's really just being able to, listen to yourself, but your body will tell you exactly. And it's just about us being able to learn the messaging that our bodies will give us, because there's certain feelings that'll come about that you go, ooh, I'm feeling this, so that must mean that. And you go into that thing and you go, oh no, that didn't turn out to feel as good as the messaging was to my physical body. So what is that now telling me? You know what I mean? So
it's complex.
It is complex, and specifically for women.
Yeah, I know.
We're like these beautiful antennas. We can take in so much.
Yeah. It's all emotion, isn't it? It's constantly, and you know, with how our bodies work, and it's just a constant visceral experience.
Yes,
that often again gets foggy because we're always in a rush, or we're eating in a way we shouldn't, or whatever it is that we're sort of numbing that. We're constantly trying to numb. And what you said is interesting a moment ago, that you've got to sit in it. And often we desperately want to escape that feeling. If it's loneliness, anger, confusion, fear, big one
rage.
For me. How can I escape it? Can I run away from it? Can I eat out of it? Can I, you know,
drink out of it?
Can I hurt myself? Whatever it is, can I be stressed and cause everyone else pain? And to sit in it is really hard.
But
it's the best way.
It is excruciating, but it is the best way, you know. And it's just getting that courage to be able to do it. It is hard. It is so hard. But I've realized that in my life, in those moments when I'm able to do it, the outcome is far better than me reacting or me, you know, all the things that your little rager or, you know, the little fear monster will tell you to do. Call that person right now and just Yeah. Freaking go off, you know, and now your rage has destroyed so much within a few words.
Have you got a certain emotion that keeps coming up in recording these episodes, a more familiar response to things or something that you lean into more often?
I wouldn't say that keep coming up in regards to the recording, but I will say that in my life right now, the thing that I'm dealing with most is rage. And I think that, you know, and it has everything to do with the clearing, right? And so you have sorrow, deep, deep, deep sorrow that then gets kind of walled in by anger. And that anger gone unchecked turns into rage. And I think that a lot of people are extremely rageful, which is why we see so much things happening in the world. Now, I never considered myself a rageful person. And so now just kind of all the emotion that is dealing with some of the more deeper hurts, now having to deal with the anger that kind of hid that sorrow and then that anger that turned into rage.
Yeah.
Right? And so it is really to the surface. So now I have to be really vigilant, so vigilant. I mean, this particular part of my life, I have to be far more still than I've ever had to be before just to manage myself until I can dissolve, you know, that emotion.
It's interesting because often just below anger is something else, like you were just saying. Fear. Mine's always fear. I get angry about things and then I go a little bit deeper and I go, oh, it's because I'm scared.
Yeah.
It's because I'm really scared about something. I'm scared that they're going to do this or they're not going to like me or they're going to take something from me. So it's anger.
Yeah.
And then you have to, I guess, work out how you channel that anger. What do you do with it?
Yep.
Do you turn it into passion and do something?
Yep.
Become an activist in an area? Or, you know, what do you do? Do you have any ways or is that still something that you're currently processing?
Well, part of my process right now is I go into nature and I'm a real golf fanatic right now.
Really?
A really golf fanatic. And I, like the other day, I had some feelings come up. I just went out and played 18 holes by myself.
I love that.
And when I tell you, when I was done in the 4 hours of playing golf, out on that beautiful golf course and hitting balls.
She's hitting those balls so
hard. Yes, I'm hitting the balls hard.
She's smashing those balls into the next golf
course.
Yes,
exactly. And then my mind is directed in a certain direction and now I'm in present time.
Yeah.
And all is well.
Well, that's it, because we're thinking about something that hasn't happened yet, always.
Exactly. It either hasn't happened yet or it already happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not now.
It's not now.
No.
So when I get into present time, I'm always good.
Yeah.
It's when I'm sitting. And my problem is I sit in the past.
Right.
There are people that either go to the future and linger there.
That's me.
And I sit in the
past. You're in the past. Right.
And that's me.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's me having to uproot myself and get into present time and to really then look at it again.
The power of now.
The power of now and just how you get there. Yeah.
You have a family that are insanely busy constantly. So at any one time, one of you is probably in a different continent doing something that you probably don't even know what the hell they're doing. With your kids in mind, how do you not feel ridiculously stressed about that?
It's funny. Sometimes I'll only get stressed if something happens.
Yeah.
Like with Jaden, when he was on his Australian trip, he was out with Post Malone and he got sick and went to the hospital. And I was like, I'm on a fucking plane.
Yeah. He's the other side of the planet.
Yes. I was like, I don't care. I don't know what's going on. I'm on a plane. Yeah. I was like, get me. As soon as he called me, literally 5 minutes, I was like, get me on a plane.
Yeah.
And I flew out there and, you know, I got there and he was fine. But I just, in this particular time, you know, better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
That's the only time I worry if there's a health issue or if there's something, you know, they're having a difficult time.
Yeah.
Other than that, as long as they're happy, I'm good. I know they know how to take care of themselves. I know that their team, they have great teams that they travel with. And they're adults.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I think about where I was. Let's see, Willow's 18. Jaden's 21. I think about what I've survived, and I think about how the higher power has looked over me and has brought me through things that I had no business surviving at all. And I go, if I could survive that, they're going to be fine. Mm. They're not in half the mess.
It requires so much letting go, watching them turn into adults. My stepson's about to turn 18, and I'm watching my husband go through that process of he's driving a car, and I'm not with him.
Yeah.
And he's got a job, and it's... You have to just let go and surrender to it, I guess, don't you?
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do.
There's nothing you can do. Our kids have to turn into adults. And at the end of the day, I learned a long time ago that they don't belong to me anyway.
Mm.
You know, I really had to... There have been so many things along the way that I've had to process and letting go in regards to them, you know, and really hand them over in a certain manner. And I still continue to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's still hard. You still, that mama bear still comes up. But for the most part, you know, I really trust that they're really good.
Mm. Like you said at the start, you and why you've structured the show as you have, you've got your mum who's more of an old school vibe, and then you've got your new school kids and you're in the middle. But do you think how your mum brought you up has informed in any way how you raise your children?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
My mother, for different reasons, had a lot of freedom.
Yeah.
A lot of freedom. So I was able to form my sense of self at a very early age, which prepared me for when, you know, it was time for me to go to L.A. by myself when I was about 18 years old. I had no problem navigating Los Angeles and this industry because of the freedom I had to navigate the streets of Baltimore, you know, and... You know, people can, my mother will look back or people can look at that and go, oh, you know, it's unfortunate that you had to, you know, grow up like that. No, it actually wasn't, because the higher power knew what I needed in order to be prepared to what was to come, right? But what I learned from that was to allow my children a certain amount of freedom to find themselves early, so that when they're out in the world at 18, when they're out in the world at 20, 21, I have nothing to worry about, because they've been making decisions for themselves even underneath my roof. I was just in the background. You know, it's almost like, you know, when you go to the bowling alley and they put the little bumpers up on each side just to make sure that the ball doesn't go in the gutter. As a parent, that's all Will and I did. It's just like, we're here, you know? It's like, if you we're going to make sure you don't kill yourself. Do everything we can.
Yeah.
And other than that, figure it out.
I'm full of admiration. I think it's a tricky, tricky
It's deeply
line
tricky.
To, you know where you're at. And if you're, because like you say, you're their main guiding light in life, and you want to protect them. But with that crazy balance of, but do what you need to do. And I guess because you were allowed a sense of liberation from a young age, you've been able to access that perhaps a little easier, that you understand the importance of it.
I understood. The necessity of it, you know, and that they had to grow up to learn to be their own opinion leaders. They have to be their own opinion leaders.
Yeah.
And that's bitten me in the ass quite a few times.
Really?
They don't listen to Jack, you know? But I'd rather have that than an individual, a child that has no idea of how to navigate their life. It's too afraid to make decisions for themselves, and they don't understand how to build something for themselves or build a life or what have you. Because that's the generation we grew up in. We were latchkey kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We had to figure out how we were going to eat, We had to figure out how we're going to get home from school, get to school. Our parents were there, but they were like, hey, figure it out.
My mom never knew where I was.
Right.
She didn't have a bloody clue.
Exactly.
She honestly had no idea where I was.
Our parents hardly knew where we were most of the time. You know, we didn't have cell phones. We had pay phones.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so we had to figure it out.
Yeah.
And I think now sometimes we can be a little too precious.
Yeah.
With our children, you know, I love the way I grew up, you know, and I love that I had to make really difficult decisions at a very early age. Because guess what? That's life. Now, my kids didn't have to make difficult decisions in that way as far as life and death, you know, but, you know, they had their own struggles in regard, you know, Willow decided she no longer wanted to whip my hair and she wasn't doing Annie and I'm not doing none of this stuff that you guys want me to do. I'm done. But for her to stand up to her parents and literally go, I'm finished as a child, that's big stuff, especially when your mother and your father is Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah.
Because we are quite, the two of us together, that's quite an energy to stand up against.
So how did you react to that at first?
What do you say? What do you say?
I wouldn't
you don't
have
say
a clue
anything.
What to do.
You just go, got it.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah. It's tricky though, isn't it? Because I watched that episode where you were talking about it and your mindset is, I want them to be set for life.
Yeah.
I want them to understand the working world and be out in that. But then, as you've said, you want them to have their own opinions and to make their own decisions. So,
you gotta let go. And let me tell you, that was like...
Oh, I bet that was so far.
I was just like...
Yeah.
And I mean, just everything. She was at the, like, you know... She was at the... Her career was bursting and she just stopped.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. We were on vacation and she we were sitting there talking. She's actually out on tour now. We were talking about the show she's going to put together. And she pulled up Whip My Hair. And then she pulled up 20th Century Girl. I'm getting teary thinking about it. And she was like, oh my God, this video is so fantastic. She was like, Mom, all of this work is on par to my messaging today. And I said, exactly. You're not doing anything different today than you were doing then.
Yeah,
it's the same timing. Thing. Mm. It was just more than what you thought it was.
Yeah.
You were just too young to understand, and that I get. But to be able to see her come to like a moment where she appreciated.
Yes.
You know, for me as a parent, I was just like, oh, thank God. Because...
Yeah.
She got to see that we weren't trying to make something that was untrue.
Yeah.
That's your brand.
Yeah.
We were in brand.
It was the essence of who she was.
It's the essence. Even then.
And also, even if she had regret or anything like that, we have to allow them to make mistakes.
Yes.
We have to allow, and that's what I find so difficult. Even with my eldest is 6.5. And when I can see that he's making a bizarre decision, I'm biting my lip, like, just let him go and, you know, not have a bath and go to school with mud up his face or whatever it is that he wants to do that he's very emphatically definite on, versus me wanting everyone to see my kid looking a certain way and acting a certain way.
That's right.
It's hard even in those small moments. So for it to be those big ones later in life, that's where you have to dig deep. And
you got
to
let that ego go.
Let the ego go.
And I think she made the most brilliant choice.
Yeah.
She really did.
Yeah.
She made the most brilliant choice, letting it all go and rebuilding it again. And, but as a parent, that was a real ego death.
Yeah.
Of just like, oh my God, what is the record company going to think? What's Jay-Z going to think?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. What's Jay-Z going to think? I'm worrying about the mums at school. What's Jay-Z going to think?
Yeah, because Jay hired, Jay signed her. But, you know, Jay has been, and what a lovely partner he's been. He has been a superhero for her. He's just, along the way, has just loved everything she's done and has really given her the room and space to develop as an artist. I could not be more grateful and more thankful for him.
Legend.
Yeah.
Jada, I'm really sad that our time has come to an end.
Yeah.
I could pick your brain all day long. Please keep making this show, because otherwise I'll have nothing to do in the evenings. And just enjoy the rest of your time in the UK.
Thank you. This was really lovely. I hope we get to do this again.
Me too.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh my God. Thank you, Jada. What a phenomenal human being she is. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Jada. And yes, I hope we get to do that again too. And thank you to all of the amazing people who have left us a review on the Apple podcast, including Livy Barnow, who says, Mondays aren't so bad because Happy Place is my weekly therapy. Love taking my dog for a walk and listening. Thank you, Livy. That is bloody lovely of you. To find out who's on the show next week, find us on Instagram at Happy Place Official. Thanks again to Jada, to the producers of this episode, Anushka Tate and Matt Hill at Rethink Audio, and to you lovely lot for listening. We'll see you next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.